This is A Pirate's Life for Me. Each week, we'll highlight East Carolina alumni achievements from around the Pirate Nation. And now, from the studios of Pirate Radio 1250 and 930 in Uptown Greenville, here are your hosts, Paul Clifford and Denise Walsh.
Good morning, Pirate Nation, and welcome to A Pirate's Life for Me. I'm Paul Clifford.
And I'm Denise Walsh, and we're your hosts for A Pirate's Life for Me. Today we'll be talking with Lieutenant Colonel Vincent P. Smith, Class of 84. He's the Air Force Liaison to the Senate.
That's right, and spots are quickly filling up for the North Carolina State tailgate when we take on the Wolfpack up at Carter-Finley Stadium. Call 800-ECU-GRAD or visit us online at PirateAlumni.com to get more information about our great tailgate that we're planning prior to that great rivalry.
That's right. Well, stay with us. We'll be right back with Lieutenant Colonel Vincent P. Smith, Class of 84, here on A Pirate's Life for Me.
This is Paul Clifford, Associate Vice Chancellor for Alumni Relations at East Carolina, letting all Pirates know about one of the greatest benefits of being a member of the Pirate Nation. Do you want to lower and simplify your monthly student loan payments? Contact the ECU Alumni Loan Consolidation Program toll-free at 866-924-4491 or online at ecualum-studentloans.com. Lock in fixed rates, possibly lower your monthly payment, and choose from a variety of flexible repayment plans. Sign your application online with e-signature or speak to a loan counselor who will guide you through the consolidation steps. Worried about your student loan debt? Call a dedicated ECU loan counselor toll-free at 866-924-4491 or visit online at www.ecualum-studentloans.com to consolidate your student loan debt. Go Pirates!
East Carolina alumni, you may be able to save on the high cost of auto and home insurance through Liberty Mutual's Group Savings Plus program. The East Carolina Alumni Association and Liberty Mutual have teamed up to offer attractive discounts on both auto and home insurance. To take advantage of these discounts and competitive rates, call the local Liberty Mutual office today, toll free at 800-835-0894. Please mention this announcement when you call.
This is Lauren Davis, and I'm an ECU student, and my friends and I can eat out at over 40 restaurants when we use our University Meal Deal Card. The University Meal Deal Card is easy to use and is a no cooking, no cleaning way to eat. If you're an ECU student and are tired of the microwave meals or the same old dining hall menu, then you need to call 1-877-MEAL-DEAL today. Sign up now and receive over $100 in bonus coupons and free food vouchers. The University Meal Deal, how a pirate should eat. Call today at 1-877-MEAL-DEAL today or log on to umealdeal.com.
You're listening to A Pirate's Life for Me. Now, back to the show.
We are pleased to welcome Lieutenant Colonel Vince Smith, Class of 1984, to the show. Welcome, Vince.
Thank you.
Vince is the Deputy Chief and the Air Force Liaison to the United States Senate. The office is the Air Force's single point of contact for responding to requests of the 100 U.S. Senators and their staffs, as well as a key Senate committees. But before we go into all that, which you're going to have to help us sort that one out, Vince, let's start at the very beginning. Tell us where you grew up and how you became an East Carolina Pirate.
Boy, well, I'm first of all, I guess I have to tell everybody first that I'm an Air Force brat, and that means that my father was in the Air Force before me. He did 28 years in the Air Force in various locations, and in 1973 we moved, and he was stationed at Seymour Johnson Air Force Base, which most East Carolinians should be aware of, F-15E fighter base, I should say, over about 45 miles from Greenville and ECU. That was his longest assignment. He was there for 7 years, and I guess you could say during that time period, because I got there when I was 10, and I graduated high school in North Carolina, and that kind of got me started on the move toward East Carolina. Even though I did not initially go to East Carolina, I eventually transferred, but it was something that was coming anyway because of the long tie that I had with North Carolina from my youth.
While at ECU, you were active in ROTC, and people often make a difference in the lives of people who come to ECU, and they talk about that. And can you tell us a little about your experience while at ECU and some of the people who may have helped influence your career?
Oh, absolutely. I would tell you right off the bat that I firmly believe to this day and will beyond this day that the success that I've had in this life and in the Air Force is directly attributable to my experience at East Carolina University because of the many things that went on there. East Carolina for me was such a, in so many ways, a little city in a big place. The support that I had from my, you know, department, my degrees in history, and I mean, I just had a great support there from my advisor, who I used to go by and see all the time. As a matter of fact, I was very disappointed because I missed him just as he retired. I was back in the area. I'd been on the West Coast for years, and I came back to Greenville for a visit like 10, 12 years later. And I wanted to stop by and see him, and I wasn't able to because he just retired like that spring or something like that, and I was there in the fall. But like I said, it was just a great catalyst to success. I would tell you that the ROTC detachment, which is very, very much a part of East Carolina University, that's the Air Force ROTC detachment, of course, because there's also an Army ROTC detachment, was a huge factor in my success and has been in the Air Force. Many of us who went through that detachment still keep in touch and are still on active duty in the Air Force. The Professor of Aerospace Studies at that time, Colonel Thomas, who was an ECU graduate, and if you go to the Pirate Wall of Fame there in the Ward Sports Medicine Building, you'll find his plaque on the wall there because he was a 4-year starter on the basketball team, and I believe East Carolina went undefeated at home 4 years that he was starting point guard for East Carolina University. So Colonel Thomas was a huge factor in my success in so many ways, because he just got me ready to face the world, ready to face the Air Force.
That's great. Vince, what moment or event is most vivid about your time at East Carolina? What stands out in your mind? Maybe a special football game or a special event that happened on campus?
Oh, boy. That's a loaded question.
You got to remember it's a family show, too. Okay?
Yeah, exactly.
So keep it clean.
There's several, but I'd say probably the day that I decided what my major was going to be at East Carolina. And I thought about it the last couple of times I've been on campus, because I was walking down a sidewalk between the Wright auditorium and the old classroom building. It's out on the main drag on Fifth Street, and I had to make a decision. And I transferred into East Carolina, and I didn't have a major yet. That day, cutting across the sidewalk, I decided I was going to major in history, and it has been valuable to me ever since. I mean, as an Air Force guy, having a history degree is extremely important to the things we do, because those that forget history are doomed to repeat it. So. Got to kind of keep a pulse on that with what we do in this business. But that was a very important day, because it was the day that I, boom, here's where I'm headed. I'm in Greenville. I'm at East Carolina University, and I'm off and running, and I'm in it for the long haul.
You're listening to A Pirate's Life for Me. We're talking with D.C. Metro Pirate Club President, Lieutenant Colonel Vince Smith. Now, following graduation, you began your career in the Air Force. Talk about what motivated you to seek a career in the military. You said your father was in the Air Force, so I'm sure that there was the family history, but was there anything else? I mean, something that was appealing to that about what you saw growing up? Or?
Flying jets. Of course, I don't fly jets anymore, and that was a very short experience for me, because everybody doesn't make it through the flight training. However, there are a lot of other things going on in the Air Force, and I'm proof of that. 21 years later, still in the Air Force, doing different things, both personnel wise and in the aircrew training business with the B-2 bomber, which is where I had my most fun. But in terms of influence in that regard, certainly, like I mentioned before, Colonel Thomas, who was the Professor of Aerospace Studies and an ECU graduate, I think he was class of 54 too, I want to say. The interaction across the spectrum. I mean, you know, one of the things that we do, or at least when I was there, that we did on Tuesday of every week was we wore our uniform. And that was always an interesting experience, both negatively and positively. And I can say without question that I always had had positive interaction with the faculty and staff of East Carolina when I was in that uniform, and in almost every case, and it was a great experience in that regard.
Now, during your 21-year career in the military, you've been all over the world. What have been some of the most rewarding experiences thus far throughout your career?
Without a doubt, the 5 months that I spent in Kosovo and in Macedonia was just an experience beyond all experiences. I was there in 2002 and was the Air Force commander in what we called KFOR, or Kosovo Forces. I actually lived in Macedonia, and my headquarters was in Macedonia, and I had my headquarters staff there with me, but most of my folks were in Kosovo. So we actually spent a lot of time driving to Kosovo, seemed like every day, which was about a two-hour drive to Pristina, Kosovo, and about an hour-and-a-half drive to Camp Bonsteel, the big army camp in Kosovo. But that experience, living with the army and working with the army and living and working with about 15 to 20 European countries and their service, their armies, was just, it's not like nothing I'd ever experienced before. It was absolutely magnificent. I made friends with everybody. We used to have a get together on Tuesday night at the Austrian bar, and it would be all the commanders, and so I became great friends with the Austrian commander and the Austrian officers. The Austrians are just awesome guys. They really are. Great friends with the Finn commander. And what's cool about the Finns is they never go anywhere without a sauna, so they had a really awesome sauna.
Wow.
The Belgians, it was a magnificent event. The Brits, of course, I actually had a British soldier give me the shirt off of her back, which I gave to my daughter, and that was pretty cool. The shirt said something to the effect of they wouldn't give us anything else to wear, so we had to wear these. because over there everybody wears under their battle dress uniform, the BDUs, you know, the camouflage uniforms we wear.
Right.
Everybody wears a T-shirt underneath that has something on it. And when you head to the bar, number one, you got to leave your weapon behind, and because you're going to the bar.
That's right.
And number two, everybody takes their top off, and everybody sees who's got the coolest shirt of the night, you know, the coolest T-shirt on. But it was just a great experience. It was a great experience interacting with the Macedonian people, which I wish more people knew more about Macedonia. The folks, the Macedonians, are some of the finest people you'll ever meet in the world, in Skopje and around there. And a lot of the folks that were at our camp, Camp Able Century, came the work there as contractors per se. For Brown and Root, which was part of Halliburton, they came from a place called Kumanovo, which was kind of northeast of us, and they were just wonderful, wonderful people. You know, they're Slavic, and they're just magnificent people. I actually, by the end of the time, my time there, I was almost fairly conversant in the Macedonian language. I still remember some of it now, too. It's kind of scary.
That's great. Well, now you work in the Pentagon. Can you tell us, were you there on 9/11? And if so, what could you walk us through your day and what that experience was like?
I certainly will walk you through my day. Unfortunately, I was not there. And the reason I say unfortunately was because I was 2 months out of the building when that happened. I had just moved to Omaha, Nebraska to be a commander of a squadron there. And so, but 2 months out, so certainly I had lots of friends and lots of folks that I'd left behind, and I still remember that morning. I was sitting in my office early in the morning, and the first plane hit, and one of my administration troops, one of my young troops came in and said, "Hey, did you hear a plane hit the towers?" And I said, "Stupid idiot in Cessna, what the heck is, you know, I mean, you don't, the first one, I don't think a lot of people thought anything of it. You know, I thought it was just some nut, you know, civilian guy flying around in the wrong place and ran into the thing." You know, of course, when the second one hit, I was on my way as a squadron commander. I was on my way to what we call battle staff. And what that is the entire leadership of the base that I was at shows up in a classified area to figure out what's going on. And like I said, I was off at Air Force Base, so... if you recall, the president was down in Louisiana at the time, and he stopped at Offutt on his way back to D.C. So we were jumping through hoops, and we were on the move, and we were doing lots of things. Plus, you know, we just didn't know what was going on. So there was a high level of alert, obviously, across the entire military. And so we were very busy. Having said that, in the process of everything else I was doing, I was trying to get through to the 703 area code, which is where the Pentagon is, to my friends that I had just left behind. And that was about a seven-hour process. So I can tell you that when I was sitting in battle, in the battle staff, and the first picture came up of the Pentagon, it was the most deep sinking feeling I've ever had in my life. And I'll just be flat honest with you, because I'm a military man. I vowed right there at that moment that I would never have that sinking feeling again. And whatever I had to do to protect this country and the people of this country and this great nation, and that includes North Carolina and Eastern North Carolina, I was going to do it. And that has not changed today. So a lot of things are going on, and I won't go into all the gory details about that, but I haven't forgotten that day, and I never will, because it was a difficult day. And the last thing I will tell you about that is that as I was dialing my phone trying to get through to folks, it finally occurred to me that one of my guys, who's a very good friend of mine, worked for me twice, his wife was across the river in Maryland at a 202 area code. So I dialed her up, and what I found was a hysterical wife who had no idea what had happened to her husband, what his status was or anything. And that was the second time that day that I felt helpless. And so once again, same thing. Unfortunately, I was able to get a hold of my, the squadron that I ran was in charge of personnel issues for both military and spouses, if I can say that. So I got a hold of my family support guy, got him up to my office, and I said, do me a favor, get a hold of the family support folks out at Bowling Air Force Base, which is where she lived, and get somebody over there to check on her. And they were able to do that because, like I said, she was hysterical. When I got her on the phone, I couldn't help her. I couldn't tell her anything. I was just calling her because I couldn't get her husband on the phone, and I couldn't get anybody else on the phone in my old office. And so it was a very, very, very difficult day. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of it I don't remember. The last thing I remember is just being at home late that night and letting my kids know what my thoughts were and what I thought that they needed to know, you know, from the standpoint of our great nation being attacked by terrorists.
Vince, obviously 9/11 brought about many changes throughout the country and within government offices and departments. How did this event change the focus of your career?
I guess I would have to say it's changed the focus for not just me, but all of us in the military, because, you know, prior to that event, I think we kind of treated terrorism, no matter how small or big, especially if it wasn't here, as kind of a civil event. You know, we need to get these people, bring them to justice, you know, and take them to court. And, you know, with which I will tell you, in my own personal sense, I always kind of had a problem with, because I felt like we always vowed to do things, and then as time went on, we forgot about it. So for the first time, you know, unfortunately, because of the magnitude of this one, and it's unfortunate that we waited this long, but, you know, now we've said, hey, this is war. And so that has changed my focus, whether I wanted it to be changed or not, because as a military guy, my military, my Air Force, is focused on going after these terrorists and taking the fight to them before they do something to us. And so that has changed our entire focus in terms of how we do business. We in the past we've dealt with terrorists, but we've never truly said, hey, U.S. Air Force, U.S. Army, U.S. you know, U.S. Marines, U.S. Navy, you guys need to go get these guys. So it's meant new tactics, techniques, and procedures for us and how we do business. And it's been a different focus. I can tell you that I was in Afghanistan and Iraq back in January with members of Congress who wanted to go see what we're doing there and how we're doing it and you know what the success is, and you know that's part of that change in focus.
This is a Pirate's Life for me. I'm Paul Clifford, and we're talking with Lieutenant Colonel Vince Smith, Deputy Chief in the Office of Legislative Liaison for the United States Senate. Okay, Vince, Deputy Chief, Senate Liaison Division, Office of Legislative Liaison, Secretary of the Air Force. Huge title. Break it down for us civilians. What exactly does that mean? And tell folks what you do on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, it means my duty title is way too long.
Yeah.
But part of the reason for that is because they're trying to identify that my boss works directly for the Secretary of the Air Force, and you know obviously I work for my boss.
Right.
But in short, the legislative liaison, Air Force legislative liaison, is a group of about 85 folks that work legislative issues for the Air Force, for the Secretary of the Air Force, and for the Chief of Staff of the Air Force. Within that group of 85, my division, which is really not a division, it's an office, because there's five of us here. We handle the senators directly. We actually live in the Russell Building on Capitol Hill, and then we also have an office on the House side in the Rayburn Building. And there's about 8 or 10 folks over there because obviously there are more House of Representatives members than there are senators. But our interaction is direct and daily, mostly with the senators' military legislative assistants. We do interact with the senators from time to time when we travel with them, because by law we do take them on congressional travel for official purposes. But most of our interaction, like I said, is with the military legislative assistants or MLAs, and we're the first line of coordination, communication, and liaisoning with any issues they have, and with taking information to them. You know, say for example, there's a big change at Seymour Johnson Air Force Base, then we're going to give a heads up and notify Senator Burr, Senator Dole on that, and Senator Burr and Senator Dole's military legislative assistants will come to us if they have questions about things, those type things. For example, we've had several of the members out to Seymour. I think the last one out to Seymour, Senator Dole was out for an F-15E ride. You know, and we coordinate that type of stuff. So we do any coordination with the 535 members of Congress.
Now, last spring you were named one of ECU's 99 leaders. You were invited back to campus that was during Founders Week. Can you tell us a little bit about what that experience was like and how it feels to be recognized by your alma mater in that way?
Oh, it was breathtaking. I mean, it was really surprised, first of all, to be asked, and then I want to thank the ECU Alumni Association for asking, in particular Paul Clifford, without a doubt. And it was such a neat experience. The best way for me to answer this is just to kind of talk a little bit about the program. I mean, the program was set up so exceptionally nice. The fact that we had four key folks identified who kind of started a roundtable discussion, which we then took into smaller groups and identified things that would help ECU continue down the road where they're going, was just perfect. It was magnificent. So it was really neat that I felt like I wasn't just coming down to do a trophy case experience, if I can use that term, but it was one of, hey, we want you to come down. We've identified you. Congratulations. Now we want you to interact and share your thoughts and ideas for where ECU should go in the future. And that, to me, was the key event, without a doubt. The only other thing I would say is I was really bummed that all the sweet tea was gone so fast at lunch. I was really looking forward to that.
Well, Vince, we mentioned that you're the president of the Metro DC Power Club chapter, which is also a combined chapter. It's also the Alumni Association chapter up there.
Correct.
And your chapter is going to be on, I guess, on show early on in the football season here with a big contingent of folks coming up for the Navy game. Tell folks a little bit about your chapter and how they can get involved in the chapter.
Oh, without a doubt. First thing I would tell them is all you have to do is go to dcpirates.com and get a look at our website, which has had great hands on it from numerous folks. It's just a magnificent website. I've gotten great. We have received great praise on it. Michael Aho, who's one of our members and also an alumni member, Marty Helms, Harry Stubbs. Those are three key folks that have driven that website, made it one of the best out there, I think. We use it. It's in D.C., things are so busy and folks stay so very busy. We use electronic communication to do almost everything, and it's been a very important key for us. And so that website is key to that. With regard to September and the ECU Navy game, I think Harry Stubbs is still working on a pirate ship to come into the Annapolis Harbor. I'm hoping on that. But I wanted to say that here so he has to beholding to it. But we our chapter worked really hard, both Pirate Club and alumni, to make that a big event. We really pushed it hard back in May as Coach Holtz was coming up for our banquet, and we were able to get some additional tickets from the Navy, group tickets, so we got tickets, additional tickets out there in addition to what ECU got, and we still have a link on our website to more tickets. They're not the group sale tickets, but they're tickets. I've never been there, but it looks like a wonderful stadium. I understand it's a homey place, and we're looking forward to having a lot of purple and gold in Annapolis on that weekend. Without a doubt, we want to make the city of Annapolis purple and gold. So we're going to be making one final push to get the word out here in the next month as I communicate with Michael Ward of the Pirate Club and Shannon over there.
That's great, Vince. Well, thank you for all you do out there in Washington, D.C. to spread the good news of the Pirate Nation and to organize all the activities that you have going on up there. We greatly appreciate it, and just keep doing what you do. It's making the Pirate Nation proud.
Thank you. Yeah, same to you guys.
Thanks, Vince.
All righty.
East Carolina alumni, you may be able to save on the high cost of auto and home insurance through Liberty Mutual's Group Savings Plus program. The East Carolina Alumni Association and Liberty Mutual have teamed up to offer attractive discounts on both auto and home insurance. To take advantage of these discounts and competitive rates, call the local Liberty Mutual office today, toll free at 800-835-0894. Please mention this announcement when you call.
This is Paul Clifford, Associate Vice Chancellor for Alumni Relations at East Carolina, letting all Pirates know about one of the greatest benefits of being a member of the Pirate Nation. Do you want to lower and simplify your monthly student loan payments? Contact the ECU Alumni Loan Consolidation Program toll-free at 866-924-4491 or online at ecualum-studentloans.com. Lock in fixed rates, possibly lower your monthly payment, and choose from a variety of flexible repayment plans. Sign your application online with e-signature or speak to a loan counselor who will guide you through the consolidation steps. Worried about your student loan debt? Call a dedicated ECU loan counselor toll-free at 866-924-4491 or visit online at www.ecualum-studentloans.com to consolidate your student loan debt. Go Pirates!
This is Lauren Davis, and I'm an ECU student, and my friends and I can eat out at over 40 restaurants when we use our University Meal Deal Card. The University Meal Deal Card is easy to use and is a no-cooking, no-cleaning way to eat. If you're an ECU student and are tired of the microwave meals or the same old dining hall menu, then you need to call 1-877-MEAL-DEAL today. Sign up now and receive over $100 in bonus coupons and free food vouchers. The University Meal Deal, how a pirate should eat. Call today at 1-877-MEAL-DEAL today or log on to umealdeal.com.
You're listening to A Pirate's Life for Me. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back into the show. You know, we talk about this every week, but a great way to stay in touch with the university and with the Alumni Association is by joining the Alumni Association. For as little as $35, you can reap benefits all over the Pirate Nation. One we want to highlight for you today is if you're visiting Greenville or if you are having family come in for the upcoming holidays, you can have them stay at the Hampton Inn in Greenville for as little as $57 a night. It's $57 plus tax, and it does change with some special events, but you show your membership card and you get that special rate. So it's another good benefit to pass on to members.
That's right, and that's just one of many, so check out the membership information at piratealumni.com to learn more. Be sure to tune in next Saturday, November 18th. We'll be talking with Dr. Carolyn Breedlove, class of 1970. She's the Senior Professional Associate, External Partnerships and Advocacy, National Education Association.
Wow, another long title, but doing some great work there in education on behalf of the the young people of America. Again, visit PirateAlumni.com for upcoming event information wherever you are in the Pirate Nation. Thanks to our producer, Shirley Rhodes, and until next time, keep inhaling purple and exhaling gold.
Go Pirates!